Drage poslušalke, pozdravljene v 14. epizodi Povratnih zank, mesečni oddaji o internetni kulturi, teoriji in literaturi. Z vami sem Lea. Današnji input predstavlja transdisciplinarni intermedijski performativni esej, ki smo ga pripravile v sodelovanju z Zavodom za sodobne umetnosti Axioma in kolektivom The Void, amsterdamskega Institute of Network Cultures. The Void je projekt, ki preizprašuje meje audiovizualnega založništva in ustvarja platformo za deljenje ugotovitev spletnih raziskovalk. To doseže s pomočjo vzpostavitve hibridnega snemalnega in oddajnega studija, ki z uporabo zelenega zaslona dodaja živo kodirane vizualije, večplastne podobe ter dogodek v dvorani prenaša na spletu. Za tokratno izvedbo se kolektiv nadgrajuje v The Void Plus, razširjen zasedbo lokalnih umetnic in ekipe Axiome. Always Been Brain Rotted naslavlja vprašanje iz muzljive definicije kulturnega fenomena brain rota. Performativni esej se poskuša distancirati od razumevanja brain rota kot žanra vsebine ali družbeno-medijskega trenda, ter ga namesto tega pojmuje kot imperativ in pravi izraz algoritemske kulture. Prek obravnave digitalnih lukenj, perifernih medijev in operativnih podob zasidra brain rot kot odraz prepleta tehnoloških, kulturnih, družbenih in ekonomskih faktorjev. The Void Plus Band sestavljajo člani amsterdamskega Institute of Network Cultures oziroma INC, Tomaso Campagna, Jordi Viader Guerrero in Julia Timis, intermedijska umetnica in DJ-ka Neža Knez, DJ-ka in producentka Tisa Troha, aka MSNGF, ter Lea. As I take a short break from my work, I wonder if I should start a conversation with my colleague who seems busy. As I don't want to bother them, I open TikTok and what is left from my break is a dense fog of half-consumed content, some of it saved for later but never reopened, and a few instantly forgotten thoughts. I return to my work. First surfaced online in late 2023 as a jokingly derogatory term for our mostly short-form content dictated online consumption habits, a description of how endless scrolling through mindless user-generated low-effort quality and value content affects our cognitive abilities. The choice of the word is no coincidence. From its inception, the concept takes up a clearly defined position on both the content itself and the consequences of its consumption. Our position as spectators thus seems to be already ascribed in very clear and rigid terms. Brain rot sits atop the social media empire as an unstoppable imperative and rules through its subjects by forcing them into complicity and stupidity. In 2024, the term was selected as the Word of the Year by Oxford University Press, promoting these implications of the word into an evergreen moral panic of the youth's media consumption. But, as we have seen, the meaning of the word is not solely tied to its ramifications, but increasingly delineates the content producing the effect itself. A loose label for short-form content that the consumers view as something with little to no meaning and, at its core, unproductive. We argue that brain rot should be studied with care, as we cannot reduce it to merely a genre of content. Rather, it operates as a perceptual texture of a new cultural regime that has been slowly and emergently forming for the last three decades, sprouting from and in turn shaping the infrastructures of algorithmic recommendation, content streaming, and automated reproduction. What appears today as an outbreak of AI-generated slop is only the visible froth of a much older process. In giving a name to the experience of overstimulation and ironic self-awareness characteristics of digital life, it ends up denoting the entire algorithmic economy that produced such experience. To quickly check a recipe I got suggested by Instagram, I suddenly realized that I forgot what I was doing, haven't answered any of my DMs, my meal not being any closer to finished. I retrieved a few items from the pantry and sat in a liminal state between the cutting board and my ingredients. My stomach growls. Trying to delineate a new cultural phenomenon, especially one brought about by rapid technological development, there is a strong urge to theorize it into binaries. Either this particular piece of culture and the technology that produced it are a qualitative break in our understanding of humanity, or, on the other hand, these developments actually do not change the current capital and power dynamics at all. We are indeed not trying to understand brain rot from either of these perspectives, as we feel the truth lies somewhere in between. Although the title of this essay definitely positions it closer to the second understanding, as nothing in fact ever happens, we should think of brain rot as a long-standing cultural process that has only now been able to express itself in a wildly visible form, concretely, through the centralization of peripheral media by algorithmic propagation. The answer is thus both. The deployment of relatively marginal and quickly disregarded long-lived cultural practices on a never-before-seen scale with utmost efficiency. As Mark Fisher argued, recent technologies only change the way culture is being consumed and distributed, production staying more or less untouched. And I quote, "Needless to say, it is not that technology has ceased developing. What has happened, however, is that technology has been decalibrated from cultural form. The present moment might in fact be best characterized by a discrepancy between the onward march of technology and the stalling stagnation and retardation of culture." End of quote. A coworker wants to compare our social media feeds. Gazing at my screen, she finds out she does not understand the language my feed speaks. I try to explain all the references that were present in just this one video. I struggle to finish my response as a seemingly infinite hole of backwards referentiality from 6-7 tralalelo tralala skibidi toilet to TikTok wrist party never quite reaches its bottom. Formally, brain rot describes media practices that flourish in the dismissal of representational meaning, as they don't demand interpretation or follow any semblance of narrative coherence. In their repetition and infinitude, their lack of symbolic depth stems from perpetual referentiality. Everything is in fact outside the text. The clearest example of this is the invention of new online discourse. As Adam Aleksic illustrates, new words are a way to capture human attention, produced by algorithmic retention incentives. They might sound new and their meaning is always changing, but deep down their function never shifts. While the words low-canyonly and low-cur-canyonly have the same meaning, one is adding implicit humor and referentiality. Human language has always been rapidly and constantly changing. We have just never before seen it on such an enormous scale. This plays well into Azuma's conceptualization of database animalization, new user-generated content being a remix of already established one. Uniqueness and innovation is rare. We are mostly interacting with a culture of constant and needless reboots, emptied of all narrative structure. Its meaninglessness originates from its unwillingness to engage with the superficially presented content, a sort of digital hole. Brain rot simultaneously sinks space, physically in cloud storage and metaphorically in the viewer's mind, and time, countless hours of scrolling that farm engagement. If we extend our digital hole argument in relation to meaning, and I quote, "The matter isn't inside the hole, it would be absurd to say it was. Nobody wants to say that holes are inside themselves. The matter surrounds the hole." End of quote. Even more, the hole is both material and a part of the object's complementary topology. Meaning thus being extracted from what the media object is not referencing or what discourse it is not invoking. To push the metaphor even further, as Esther Poloni and Sasha Grozdano point out, one of the perspectives that tie together black boxes and black holes is in how black hole photographs or operational images, and I quote, "exemplify how observation can be constitutive of the phenomena observed, how the viewer positioned outside the black box or beyond the event horizon nevertheless becomes part of the system that gives rise to meaning." End of quote. Even if we are positioned outside of the digital hole, our agency, understanding, and contextuality is determined by our viewing angle.
But Peter, what about the concrete definition?
Oh, Stewie. Concretely, brain rot is the cycle of propagation and consumption of short-form vertical video content engineered for maximizing engagement and screen time, pushed by social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, and beginning to branch out into other lucrative media sectors like the porn industry or sports betting.
Why does it work so well?
Brain rot is media tailored to our shortened average attention spans of 8 seconds, highly personalized, effective, engaging, and mobile-oriented. It is the feeling of casually picking up your phone and suddenly realizing that 20 minutes had passed while the consumed content is nothing but a memory splatter of colors and sound bites, the only tangible trace being the overflowing virtual inboxes of your acquaintances.
What about its look?
It relies on looping mostly derivative visuals and sped-up, remixed audio that blends into an absurd layering of stimulus and references, edging the cultural model of the database closer and closer to its absolute algorithmic optimization. Thank you.
I go to the toilet and reach for my phone. My YouTube Shorts algorithm seems to be broken, as it is devoid of any recently watched history. I look at the same three shorts about obscure Dark Souls lore that I could recite in my sleep. The next week, my feed goes back to normal, but the useless knowledge of exactly which three items have the lowest drop rate lingers in my mind. The term peripheral in this context is doing a lot of work, as it ties both to secondary devices like keyboards and computer mice and the off-center positioning of something. In this case, both are intertwined. If we focus on the first one, the word peripheral media is trying to describe forms of media that live in the corners and in between the folds of regular media practices. They mostly serve the function of relaxing the viewer, taking their attention away from the main message to indulge in a meaningless digression. The second meaning signifies how these media practices can be quickly ignored or dismissed, as they do not take up a central position, adding no meaning to the media form they latch onto. This does not mean they don't serve a function or exist without a cause, as nevertheless, and I quote, "the public is an examiner, but an absent-minded one," end of quote. If we take a look at a few examples, we could see how a contorted drawing of a cat beside a medieval scripture could provide a source of entertainment to the reader or transcriber of the text. Even without conceding to the condemnation of decoration, we can classify architectural ornament in the same way, functioning as an attention sink or symbolic pointer, but serving no essential function otherwise. With the advancements of algorithmic culture, peripheral forms of media emerge as central to the sphere of social media and the internet in general, as well as peripheral to all other media. We can doom-scroll through brain rot while we watch movies, listen to music, podcasts, audiobooks, or talk with friends. No more short and sweet radio jingles a few times an hour between show breaks, but an infinite program of only short quips and highly edited bits. If the computer is considered a meta-medium, then brain rot is its cultural equivalent, as everything must flow through it. By precisely instrumentalizing its periphery, it is able to take the most central place of all. I have a younger brother that is only now beginning to understand how the world is structured. He is prohibited to attach to any screens. Most he's allowed to do is watch cartoons. A lenient grandma thus being his greatest ally. I often wonder how he will interact with technology when he gets older. Will he be ever able to tell if an image is artificially generated? Does he know that some cartoons he loves to watch on YouTube are low effort slop? I guess the only truly important thing is that the red fire truck jumps farther than the green race car. The operational image is a visual made to measure, track, and surveil, an image created for machines, casting human sight aside. In the circulation of these images as vibes, we witness a qualitative shift from operation to ornament, being stripped of their purpose and redeployed, augmented with meaning through curation. Surveillance feeds, military interfaces, x-rays, and heat maps drift through design culture as aesthetic motifs. Their cold efficiency, our tasteful ambience, their oppressive control, our carefully curated style. Brain rot's surface is the exact opposite, taking the aestheticized image and making it operational by stripping it of its meaning, aesthetic cues functioning as a facade for algorithmic optimization. If CCTV camera footage with no inherent meaning to produce is mostly writing over itself and is addressed only when necessary, it can become an aesthetic precisely because of its impersonal and impractical connotations. Brain rot reverses this cultural process when it takes well-known cultural IPs and strips them from their original meaning and context, remixing them into an image whose only purpose is to be efficiently reproduced, produced by one machine and propagated by another. Furthermore, ornaments and peripheral media are the exact zone of conversion between the two. Operational images are seen as ornaments when humans encounter them, while brain rot turns ornaments back into an operational surface while recentering it. Generally quickly critical of any personification or anthropomorphization of algorithms, especially ones that refer to this complex interplay of different organs of code as the algorithm. I do, though, sometimes catch myself playfully thinking of my feed as something that I take care for. If someone says their SoundCloud recommendation page is shit, I silently think, that's because you don't love it enough. Even unformed feeds are reflections of reality. Some people just don't put in the time as they have better things to do. I wonder, is there a shelter for abandoned feeds? As we move past the view of brain rot as cultural decline, we can very neatly map it out as a manifestation of what Alexander R. Galloway characterizes as algorithmic culture. It is not defined in what it produces or how it appears, but rather in how it operates and structures its cultural output through an interface as a productive zone. Algorithmic culture, a paradigm tied directly to technological advances, is defined by the infrastructure that it relies on. Brain rot is a direct product of modern social media's platform physics, an emergent cultural form that is produced and given legitimacy through infrastructural design. The interaction of statistical accounting, such as likes, shares, saves, reposts, and regalia, like verifications or followers. It is far from random. It is a direct aftermath of a media environment that rewards engagement, growth, and virality. Not entirely dissimilar, games are also a clear example of culture that runs on code and rules being organized by executable procedures like inputs, states, and protocols. Brain rot can be clearly labeled as the most gamified form of social media content, appealing to and using the language of ludic interaction. It explicitly calls out to the viewer to like or comment, to interact with the content, or to hold a finger on a specific part of the screen. The short-form video posing in an Althusserian policeman uniform. Subscribing to a MrBeast video is not only showing support, it's actively participating in his funding of charitable acts. The virtual hole is never passive, but acts closer to a black hole, sucking in infrastructural elements to both instrumentalize them further in its gamification and absorb them as content. Brain rot blurs the line between protocols, design, and media. The statistical accounting acting as a meta-narrative that structures the interactions between countless references to fictional and real-life characters. You have to like the real
just share this short if you think LeBron James will be able to make a blind free throw and not disappoint his son Bronny. Please comment if you would like to receive this recipe for low-calorie, air fryer, macro-friendly vegan shawarma.
Weekends when there is no imminent deadline approaching, we like to sleep in. After my girlfriend wakes up, she wraps her arm around me while we watch the Instagram reels we sent each other during the week but did not respond to. We bed rot and brain rot together, starting off the day with laughter and comments like us or you. Sometimes indulging in mind-numbing unproductivity can feel beautiful. As the name algorithmic culture suggests, algorithms are the material that shapes and dictates today's cultural production. Algorithmic ordering is the key for building platform economies, social media, and scrapers that AI models can learn from. From search, personalization, recommendation, and ranking, informational ordering is what the modern internet is constructed on. These dynamic ordering operations represent informational abstraction and shape visibility, relevance, and institutions. As the powerful tools they are, their use case is not limited to one approach, as one data set can yield profoundly different outcomes based on the parameters we use. Instead of a wrench that only tightens bolts in one way, these algorithms represent a vast assortment of hardware that can tackle almost any statistical problem it comes across. The question being asked each time is just how we want our end product to function in regards to the user. This is important because it shows us the different perspectives of analyzing user data can generate infinite results. On the other hand, advanced sorting and recommendation can get to know and predict someone's taste on an inhuman level, maxing out interest and connection to a piece of media. Brain rot did thus not just appear, but slowly emerged through technological processes that could generate unlimited, exceptionally relevant content. It achieves this by probing the user with different content to see which one sparks the most effective response. The fact being that anger spreads quicker over social networks than joy. Be rage baited or log off. The model of software as service is the pinnacle of today's platform economies that rely on lifting certain parts of a service. Why not make an app that acts as a mediator between two other systems if that can produce even more profit? Software is not prone to monopolization, but instead, giant corporations are investing in each other, producing a feedback loop that only accelerated by their merging into each other's stacks. Brain rot embodies this logic on a cultural level. It inserts itself between different narratives and mediates between IPs, merging together forms of competing content to become one with them. If exocapitalism produces new abstractions and opens up places for even more mediation, brain rot is the slimy cultural substance that can absorb anything and fit between the cracks. Brain rot is a fractal that modulates on different layers and works recursively, how Manovich described new media. At the same time, brain rot is also the prime example of lift's negation, drag. In other words, when humans try to embed themselves in these highly lifted processes, their cumbersome human form generates traction that the exocapitalism system can use to generate even more services, even more engagement. This is exactly how rage bait can be so productive, capitalizing on strong emotions or expressive dragging in all its forms. Some being infrastructural, like Instagram implementing the repost feature right where the share button used to be. Others being content-driven, like outrageous political claims or bizarre imagery. If I have to work at home and I'm really unmotivated, the only way to do it is to request the help of an app that locks me out of my feeds. The pool of the digital hole being so great that I often catch myself checking if the timer ran out. When I finally earn my 5-minute break, it doesn't feel as good as I was convinced it would. Being over in a blink, I wonder why I was even looking forward to it. After I finish my work, I go to bed. I can't sleep and scroll for 2 hours regardless. Following the path to its end, brain rot settles into view as a cultural condition that is comprised of many historical, infrastructural, and aesthetic moving parts, rapidly mutating in various directions. It emerges as an infinitely reproducing digital whole that assembles meaning from sucking in referentiality and infrastructural elements, inventing its own black hole information paradox. How can meaning ever be truly reduced to nothing? Brain rot represents algorithmic culture at its prime, filling in aesthetic gaps for a highly abstracted and immaterial economy. The historical persistence of peripheral media helps situate this condition as forms once confined to the margins, ornaments, pauses, or breaks have expanded until they structure the whole. What once offered relief from sustained attention now defines the baseline. We have always been brain-rotted in the sense that these media practices are already deeply familiar and ingrained in our perception. They have just been enforced and accelerated beyond their recognition. Images created by computers, reclaimed by humans, again being deconstructed and reconstructed for algorithmic propagation. Culture works on completely different scales than ever before. If we stare at the hole for too long, it may look like there is nothing to see. But if we change our viewing point just a bit, we can start to appreciate the complexities in a wholly different light. Screen, Oscar Kandare and Neža Knez. Camera, Julia Timis.
desktop Jordi Viader Guerrero. Modem Tommaso Campagna. Voice Lea Sande. Technician Walter Udovicic and the Kino Shishka team. And the Axioma team, the promoter Nija Bukovec. The stage manager Ema Maznik Antic. Production and tour manager Marcela Okretic. The fat boss with the cigar, Janez fucking Njanša. Thank you.
Odlagamo svoj vertikalni ekran in zaključujemo z današnjo analizo Brainrota. Esej si v vizualni obliki lahko ogledate v spletnem arhivu The In-Between. Ob končani postprodukciji pa bo na spletno stran dodana tudi povezava do končne verzije celotnega eseja. V oddaji smo kot podlago poslušali skladbo Apex Castles avtorice DJ Megan 32. V naslednji epizodi Povratnih zank bomo prebirali zbornik Machine Decision is not final, China and the history and future of artificial intelligence, ter se pogovarjali z urednicama dela Amy Ireland in Bogno Konjor. S tem zaključujemo današnji output. Možgane sem si kisala Lea, autoscroll mi je vklopila Tina.